This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. New Nebraska head coach Matt Rhule slated to call in any moment now. Toe has met ball on all of Group E play for those scoring at home. That would be UK versus Wales. That's got to be a big game, huh? You know, out there and with UK, the England and Wales. That's got to be a big, backyard brawl.
A rivalry? Yeah, right? Sure.
USA and Iran. There's some, Mike, you're my geopolitics expert. There's a history, right?
Yes, we have a little bit of a history since 1980, earlier.
This guy over there. That guy.
He's on top of it.
I just had a nice quick chat with Chris McDonald in the back.
Yes.
He is here getting ready to talk about his Buffalo Bills. Oof. Getting ready to talk about a couple of programs. Hacks on HBO Max, a dynamite program. The Watcher, available now for streaming on Netflix. Bobby Cannavale, friend of the program. He's in that show, too. So lots to talk about there. Chris Brockman and Mike Del Tufo, where they are. TJ Jefferson, where you are, and joining us on the program in a matter of moments will be Matt Rhule from Nebraska. And there is word out of Wisconsin from the man himself that Aaron Rodgers should be able to go against the Bears this weekend. Give that one a little
swirl. You guys yesterday.
A little swirl in the palate as we get ready for the rest of the NFL world in Week 13. Joining us on the Mercedes-Benz Vans phone line is the new head coach of Nebraska football. Yeah, last time we spoke with him was, I believe, before the draft when the Carolina Panthers were maybe taking a quarterback or maybe didn't. Or no, it was after the draft that they did not take one. But now it's a totally different world for Matt Rhule. Back in college football, now the head coach of Nebraska football here on the Rich Eisen Show. How are you doing, Matt?
I'm great. How are you guys?
Are you in the state of Nebraska already? Are you there?
Oh yeah. I'm sitting at my desk.
Your desk.
Talking to you and looking at recruiting list.
Okay. So you already got your office set up. You have a home. You got this whole thing. So are you real estate all done? You're doing that.
You know what? My wife went out to look for a house today. So knowing her, it's probably pretty close to done.
Oh.
I'm in the hotel and I'm just hanging out in the facility.
Okay, man. Football coaching world is kind of crazy. How many times have you moved your family, Matt? How many times is this for you now? What do you got for me?
That's a great question. Probably. This is my fourth head coaching job in 11 years. I mean, this is I probably moved my son like 10 times, 12
oh,
times.
Oh my gosh.
He's eight. Yeah.
Man, and it is just never easy to do such a thing, and I totally get it. But what attracted you to Nebraska? Walk me through that one, Matt.
You know, I think as we started this process, I had 4 years left on my contract. There was no urgency to take a bad job. I didn't know much about Nebraska other than its great, great tradition and, five national championships. But I was willing to listen to everybody. And as I got to know Trev Alberts, the athletic director, as I got to learn more about not just the program but their vision for the future, I said, man, this sounds just like me. They want to be a tough physical team. They want to be a team that doesn't just live off of, hey, transfers all the time. They want to get guys at 18 years old, help them graduate, help them grow into NFL players, be a player development place. And I felt the fit. My wife and I kind of snuck out here, flew out here, looked around Lincoln. We didn't realize how big it was. We didn't realize how nice it was. And in the end, we decided that this is where we wanted to take our next chapter, raise our family, and live next.
Did you end up talking to Tom Osborne at any point in time? Did you have to?
Yes, sir. Before I took the job, I called him and said, hey, I'm not going to take this job if I don't have your blessing. I needed to make sure that he was okay with me being the coach, and he was great to me. He said, Matt, I'll never get in the way, but I'll always be there to support you in anything you need or give you any help that you need. And so, he's one of the great, great, great coaches, the guys that I looked up to at a young age. And so it was pretty surreal to talk to him.
So you asked, technically, the way you just described it, Matt Rhule, you asked Tom Osborne for Nebraska's hand in coaching marriage? Is that what you, is that literally what happened?
Just like I did with Don Nybert way back when, to marry Julie. I just think, that man did so much for this university. I owed it to him. He laughed at me and said, you don't need my permission. I said, well, maybe I don't need it, but I'd sure like it. I'd sure like your blessing. So he was great to me.
And who else from the Nebraska world did you speak to?
You know, I talked again, Trev Alberts. You know, great player here. You know, he's the athletic director. I was lucky in that the president of the university system, Admiral Ted Carter. I had a chance to talk to the admiral. He was at Navy. I was at Temple when we played and when we won the championship game. And so he had a vision for what my teams looked like, you know, at Temple, for the, you know, the physicality and the play style. And that's what he wanted. And I think that's really important, Rich. You know, lots of times people hire a coach, you know, for what they think it's going to be. You know, he knew what it was going to be. He knew the way that we did things. And he thought that that was a fit, and that meant a lot to me.
And any former players that you've spoken to? Anybody reach out?
I was quiet at first, you know, because I was obviously trying to respect the process. But after getting the job, one of my favorite players that I had in Carolina, Amir Abdullah, he and I had a chance to speak. I had a chance to speak to Ndamukong Suh. Got a text right away from Mike Rucker, Eric Stokes, and then I've had a chance to talk to many more after coming out here. But it was really cool to talk to Amir. He's one of the special players in the National Football League. And, you know, he kind of knows me. He knows how I do things. And when he called me, he said, hey, coach, this is going to be a great fit. You're the guy that I want at my university. And that meant a lot to me.
Has Will Compton, you spoken to the boy? Have you spoken to Will at all? You've spoken to him?
Yeah, absolutely. I told him I wanted to be on the bus at some point. So, you know, I mean, I need that experience, man. As you go through this process, normally, you know, you're at one job and someone calls you and it's like bang, bang. But since I was out of work, I had a lot of time to look at all these jobs, and I watched episodes of Bussin' with the Boys. Okay. I watched all kinds of stuff. Getting ready to figure out if this was the right fit.
Well, I mean, you know, there are a few people that he would actually bring the bus to, Matt. I think the head coach of Nebraska football is somebody he would actually bring the bus to. You don't have to go schlep to Nashville or anything like that he's asking me to do. So, okay, good. I'm glad that everything is all buttoned up for you to arrive in Nebraska. Matt Rhule here on the Rich Eisen Show. Just turning the page back for a bit to the world of the National Football League, Matt Rhule. Just a macro question. What do you think did not work out in Carolina that you thought was going to work out? What was it?
I just think, you know, and I understand why. You know, I just think that I was hired to do a 4-year kind of a plan, you know. I'm a guy that historically, you know, in the third year has won. You know, we kind of knew going in, and as I talked to the people there, hey, it might take a little longer just because of, you know, kind of where we were, you know, kind of the end of an era and some great, great players retiring and moving on. And, you know, to me, if you tell me, hey, I need you to do it in 2 years, then I'm going to do it differently. I'm going to, you know, sign some more free agents. We're going to do some different things. If you ask me to do it in 4 years, and then we're going to build through the draft. And I really like the team. I think, when they've played well on offense and scored points, they've won like they did this past week. It's great to see Sam Darnold go out there and play well. But I think you look at the future of that team. I think Derek Brown, Brian Burns, DJ Moore, JC Horn. You know, we were building it to, you know, no huge free agent signings, no blockbuster trades to try to get to next year and, you know, try to hopefully win this year, get to next year, and maybe make a big move or two and be a power team in the league. And so I think Scott Fitterer, the GM's done a great job. I mean, they're still in contention in the NFC South. They're 3-1 in the NFC South. And that was my job, to try to help build a team that could win the NFC South. The mistake I made, Rich, is we just didn't win enough. You know, you have to win enough in years 2 and 3 to be able to stay. I would have loved to stick around longer. I was 1-4, kind of like Ron Rivera was, and I would have loved to stick around longer, but everything happens for a reason, and I'm in a really good place, and I'm grateful to Carolina.
Do you think if you could wave a wand, have a mulligan, would you have drafted a quarterback instead? In your chance.
No, because there was really no one that, you know, I shouldn't say that. You know, Justin Fields is playing really well, and Mac Jones is someone that I have a lot of respect for. But, you know, sometimes articles come out after you get fired and say, oh, hey, why didn't you guys get Justin Herbert? Well, you know, because he got drafted in front of us. And, you know, I wasn't the GM. I didn't make the picks. You know, I had a lot of input. I worked with two great guys in Marty Herney and Scott Fitterer. But I think when you look at the three first-round draft picks that we had, Derek Brown, J.C. Horn, and Ike Ekwonu, I think they're all future Pro Bowlers. So, you know, there's some really good quarterbacks that went before us. You know, would have loved to have one of those guys, but they weren't there. And Mac is a really good player for New England. Justin's running wild right now, so you can maybe look back at those. But I love the guys that we drafted, and I just think in time they're going to be great, great NFL players.
Now that you've been through the NFL as a head coach, Matt Rhule, and you're back in college where you had obviously the successful years at Temple and then Baylor as well, there's just a nonstop conversation that's been going on for quite some time about the difference at coaching on the two levels. What is your opinion of it now about the difference of coaching on the two levels?
Yeah, I don't think there's a big difference in the coaching. I think you just there's far more moving pieces in the NFL. You know, in college here, you know, kind of I set the vision. You know, everyone goes and executes it. You know, I have a hand in the recruiting. You know, I have a hand in kind of, hey, the operation, here's how we're going to do things. You know, really in the National Football League, you know, there's lots of really great people that all have their role. You know, have a GM who's got to put together the roster. You have an owner, and every owner's different, who has to approve things. You have a coach who's got to handle things on the field. And so the actual coaching, I mean, players are players, especially nowadays. You get kids in college, man, they're really savvy. You know, players love being coached by guys who know what they're doing. I just think it's all the other pieces of it. It's all the people, you know, the moving parts in the NFL that have to come together for you to have success.
So, Matt Rhule, as I send you off onto the rest of your day to find out what house your wife has picked out and so much more, you know, I've enjoyed talking with you and your years being a coach of the Carolina Panthers, and I'm very pleased to see that you wound up in a spot that pleases you, but you do know that on occasional Saturdays we're going to have to go our separate ways in the Big Ten, right? You do realize that, correct?
I understand, and you're very, I'm sure you're very happy right now. So.
Oh gosh, happy does not actually do it justice. What I am, I'm like, you're peeling me off the ceiling right now, is really what you're doing, and there's now a trophy, I guess, that Compton and Taylor Lewan have created between our two schools, the Bussin' with the Boys trophy that currently does reside in Ann Arbor, and I wish you good luck in getting it out of Ann Arbor, sir.
We will do all we can.
Okay.
All that we can.
Excellent. And then, by the way, when you speak to Tom Osborne next time, ask him for half of the 97 national championship back for Michigan. We'd like to make that whole as well. If you don't mind me doing that.
I'll try to find a way to work that in.
Thank you, sir. Yeah. That should be his top priority, right, Chris? My buddy Chris right here?
Okay. I mean, he's got other stuff going on.
Take care of yourself, Matt Rhule. You be well, man. It's been a great – congrats on the gig. We'll chat again soon, hopefully. Thanks. You got it. That's Matt Rhule, everybody, from the University of Nebraska. Yeah, I went there.
It's a big day for him. You know, he's going to have a new house soon that he's never seen
Call
before.
Call back Tom. He's got Tom's number. Call him back. You know that gold watch that was it the coaches gave it to him? The coaches gave it to him, right? The AP gave it to Michigan, the coaches gave it to him, right?
I don't know. I don't think this is a good take by you.
It's a great take by me. It's an outstanding take by me. And you know what? Next time we have Hutch or Charles on, we'll ask him what they would have done in that game.
Oh, sure. Ask.
Oh, no, I'm happy to ask
him. Come on.
Who from the Hall of Fame is on that I can have on from that Nebraska team to talk about it with?
Well, the College Football Hall of Fame?
Probably a lot of those guys. The Hall of Fame. The Pro Football
Hall of Fame. Well, you know that college success doesn't necessarily translate to NFL success.
It can. Why do you keep on blocking me when I'm having such a good time? What's his problem? What's his rain on parade issue these days?
I don't know. We had a couple
days off
last week.
Do we have to have an offline conversation?
Rain parade? 97 has nothing to do with what happened on Saturday.
That's true. We can agree on that.
Okay. All right. Good.
Yeah. Yeah. They're separated by decades.
Right.
I agree.
And people.
No, but you're raining on that parade on Saturday.
I wasn't raining on that parade.
Dude, and my entire take, I looked over at you yesterday, my entire take, and you were just like, sourpuss. You were sourpuss.
I'm not sourpuss. That take is not for me.
What do you mean
it's
not for you?
That take is for your legions of blue. What is it?
Maze and blue. Yeah.
It's for the legions of those people.
I think there's
that take is not for me.
Excuse me. Hold on a second.
That take's not for me.
You were the one who texted me last night the number of responses that video has gotten, right?
Oh, yeah. We're almost to 1,000.
Great. So, and so, first of all, proof that me being happy is better for the show than the other way.
Well, we don't know.
Thankfully, we don't know. I'm just gonna say there wouldn't be 1,000 people commenting on it, you know, if I was miserable.
There wouldn't be. We know that.
Thank you, TJ.
We don't know that.
Thank you, TJ.
You can go back because we have nothing. You can go back and look at the numbers every year.
I need to nip this dynamic in the bud before Chris McDonald comes out here, because right now I feel like there is this line.
Oh, yes.
You and I are on one side of the line. Like, I never thought that this studio could actually be bisected by a line.
I'm like Mary J. Blige.
Those two guys, this guy who's still bitter, about a foul call that put Ramil Robinson on the line, and he made the two greatest free throws of his life. Okay, like, you're still bitching about that from 1989.
Be mad at PJ.
All right, and that the two of you guys are sitting. I don't want it just divided. I can't have this house divided.
Well, it's already divided.
But all I'm saying is, I looked at when you texted me, "Hey, people are responding."
Oh yeah, I said the.
I actually looked at the responses.
Yeah,
and a lot of them are like, "I'm a Penn State fan, but I'm happy for you." There's a lot of people with no fight, no skin in this game, like Del Tufo. Who was just like, I'm still holding a grudge from 40 years ago.
You were getting props from other Big Ten people who also hate Ohio State.
So it's not a legion of maize and blue. But it's a legion of people who hate
Ohio State.
This guy over here.
Brockman, ask Rich how many teams that were ranked Michigan beat this year.
Oh, please.
That was only their second.
Mike, just pipe down with your Seton Hall I almost cursed.
You could say it.
All right, let's take a break right here. I don't like the way this is going.
You know Michigan outscored Ohio State 28-3 in the second half?
Yes, they did know that.
Did you ever pick? Yeah, no.
Yeah, very good. All right, let's take a break. Chris McDonald is here, a delightful human that does not need this sort of issue. United States is getting close, but it's still scoreless.
The World Tournament of Soccer happening in Qatar is finally here, and with all the weird kickoff times and all the other sports happening simultaneously, it can be kind of hard to keep up. So to make sure you're up to speed, be sure to listen to Qatar Kick Around for the daily wrap-up of all the action from the tournament. From the group stage all the way to the final, Andy, Lars, and Peter are here for you with recaps and opinions of what happened that day in Qatar. Everything can be found at thekickaround.com, the Cumulus podcast channel on YouTube, or wherever you listen.
Influencer. It's a word that gets tossed around a lot these days. There is a woman who went the distance, who broke ground as the first true influencer by living a remarkable life. Her name, Elizabeth Taylor. I'm Katy Perry. This is the story of the original influencer. This is Elizabeth the First. Elizabeth the First, the podcast, wherever you listen.
The Watcher is available now for streaming on Netflix, starring the brilliant Jennifer Coolidge, Naomi Watts, Bobby Cannavale, and you, Christopher McDonald, here on The Rich Eisen. What a hell of a cast that is, man.
Boy, I tell you, Ryan Murphy did not mess around. I had the pleasure of working with him on Impeachment, which was the whole Clinton thing with Monica Lewinsky. And he said, I got to have McDonald to do this this Watcher thing in New York. Completely different character, a lot of fun to play, great actors. Mia Farrow, I'm sitting in the green room, if you will, and we're talking for an hour and a half. Just the nicest, coolest person ever.
Do you bring up Rosemary's Baby with her?
Like, always.
I'm serious. Like,
seriously.
Wow. What
dark stories did you tell me about it? It was pretty amazing. It was one that really, really put her on the map. And funnily enough, I think she was with Frank Sinatra then, and he didn't want her to do it, and it was kind of a crazy thing, but. I mean, it was harrowing, and she said it's been with her forever.
I bet.
It's one of those great horror movies.
Well, when you're in a devil worship movie with Ruth Gordon, it's tough to forget that.
She talks so funny.
Where's Papa, ladies and gentlemen?
Yeah, was that a great one?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. I can do it. George Segal. I mean, I could keep going on and on and on here. You were at Bobby Cannavale, diehard Jet fan. You and he ever have a Bills-Jets conversation?
We did. I used to be a Jets fan back in the day of Joe Willie, and I thought, but I was young, and then when we moved upstate to Buffalo, my brother said, you can't be a Jets fan.
So right.
You got to be a Bills fan. And that was the time of OJ and stuff like that. And then
the electric company.
We laughed. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And what was great about Bobby is like, he could laugh about it because the Jets did beat us by a field goal.
Right.
And it was really, really tough. But we get him at home coming up in the next couple of weeks.
Yes, you do.
So that's going to be good.
You're still tight with Jim Kelly? I know you told
some
great
Jim Kelly is one of the greatest guys, the toughest guy I ever met.
I love him.
But he went through with his cancer, with the loss of his son. I've been friends with him for, I don't know, 20 years. And it was funny because we met doing a car racing thing. And I don't know if I told this story before. But anyway, he's sitting across the table and they're going around the room introducing, and I'm him. And I know these are all like top athletes and, you know, Olympic stars and actors and stuff. And I said, I'm Jim Kelly, play a little football. He looks over and goes, what a jerk. And we've been friends ever since.
I'm Jim Kelly, I played a little football.
Yeah, yeah. So I took his name away from him. So we've been laughing since then. He's a good guy. And he has the greatest golf tournament in the history of golf tournaments.
Sure.
Actually, it's a party interrupted by golf. It's one of those things where it's so much fun, raises a lot of money for Kelly for Kids, and been doing it for 35 years.
I know you're a constant there. I bet Berman's a constant.
Berman, always.
Chris Berman.
Yeah, the greatest.
The greatest.
Boomer.
You know, with Jim Kelly, I got to know him through the Pro Football Hall of Fame ceremony that I've been going to year after year. Yeah. And one of my favorite stories about this is how he has affected the ceremony, not just for the fans, but for the Hall of Famers. And here's how he's affected it both. For the fans, is when he got into the Hall of Fame, you could draw a line from Buffalo, New York to Pittsburgh, PA, right to Canton, Ohio. Okay. Buffalo, where he played his professional football.
Right.
Pittsburgh, where he's from, and Canton, where the Hall of Fame is. The number of people that showed up to watch him go in droves forced the Hall of Fame to stop holding the ceremony on their front steps and move it into the stadium, where it has been ever since.
Wow.
That's number one. And then now that the event is in the stadium, this changed the dynamic for the Hall of Famers, because it was difficult for them to jump off the stage for a little bit and maybe cool off with a libation or two that Jim kind of might like
a little bit.
And so he told the Hall of Fame, we need to have a green room. And he was the one who created the green room for the Hall of Famers to jump off the stage a little bit and have something to drink.
Oh, that's classic.
And that's the way it's been forevermore too, ever since in the stadium. They changed the venue across the street to the stadium. And
Huge. Then once there,
how are we going to work on the drink situation? And Jim Kelly was
the important stuff.
He was the guy at the forefront of both.
Yeah.
Of both. And then, wait a minute, while we're on the subject matter, because I'm sure who doesn't like talking about Jim Kelly? We were there one night, Chris and I and the rest of the crew. One year we were all there together, and he took over the bar, right?
We were at the hotel, and it was one bartender, and he was very overwhelmed, so to speak, with all the Hall of Famers, you know,
and their family members, right?
And their family and everybody. Jim Kelly hops behind the bar.
He says, I'll do it.
And starts serving drinks to everybody.
He's like, I got this.
That's who he is.
Yes.
That's Jim Kelly.
We were all overserved.
I don't know if he was
overserved.
We were all overserved.
We were, by the way.
We were overserved.
Yeah. You know how they have those little tin, those little cones that you pour in
like
the mixture?
No, it's like,
Yeah.
Bring it there were no cones, man.
All you need is one, and you're good. Yeah. That's so funny. Yeah.
Love the guy.
Love the guy, too.
And now Josh Allen, they have finally found that next guy.
It is so much fun to be a Bills fan right now. It's been hard for a few years. You know, New England used to kill us all the time when Tom Brady was up there. And now it's, you know, this Josh Allen is tough as nails, too. What a player. What a game we had last week.
Yes.
My God, that pass. The
to Diggs over
threw
the middle.
14 there.
Yeah, I know.
Kept him in the game, field goal win. Because we'd lost for two games prior to that by 3 points.
That throw over the middle was...
A bomb. A bullet.
Unreal.
Yeah.
It was one of those where you're sitting there going, whoa, okay.
Yeah. And then how about the touchdown that he ran, too? Whoop, fumble. Oh, I know. I just take it in.
I know.
Unbelievable. He's an amazing guy. Great, great team. Oliver on defense, 9-1. Great guy. Gets the touchback and great tackles. And, of course, you know, the receivers, so good. But we're a little worried about number 40, want him back, because he is...
Milano's really good. Oh, you were talking about Vaughn, sure.
Vaughn, yeah. We don't know. It's a knee thing.
What would a Super Bowl parade in Buffalo look like, Christopher McDonald? What would it look like?
I can't really say it out loud, but it's kind of a blank show. It's going to be it's going to be a party, because, my God, we've been this close well, the first time especially, yes. wide right with the Giants. But,
yeah.
man, it would go crazy because the fans are – they're Bills Mafia. They are just heart and soul Bills. And you look in the stands, you see the horns and the blue faces. This is a lot of work they're putting into, you know, just representing the Bills. And it's just – and they go to as many games they can. It's great. I just love to get us to the Super Bowl.
I had a little egg on my face the other day on NFL Network on the day when the Bills had to play in Detroit because of the thunder snow.
Good storm, Lord.
Okay, right?
Did you see that?
And I said to myself that, you know, it's going to be, unfortunately, like shades of 2020 when there are no fans in the stands, you know, because the game's in Detroit yeah, and there's, yeah, right. you know, Bills Mafia is all snowed in and whatever. And I got a lot of people on Twitter from Bills Mafia saying, we're here. Like, yeah. what are you talking about? And then
about,
the fans really? All showed up and it was yeah. loud. You know, yeah. like the Browns had to go silent snap count every now and then. Yeah. It was quite a game. It was pretty
great
wild,
game.
Man.
I tell you what, those Lions, as you know, yes. as a Michigan guy.
Yes.
They're no joke.
I know that.
This second half of the season's been crazy for them.
Yeah, they've gone on a nice little run.
Yeah.
The watcher hacks Christopher McDonald here on the Rich Eisen Show. You have a satchel to your right.
What I do. You, what do you I got, carry what do you this everywhere. It's got all my medicine in it.
Okay. But yes, sir.
What I do brought you? This for you.
What do you have here?
I was just at the first leg, if you will, the 23 mm-hmm. PGA Tour, mm-hmm. And they made me a Shooter McGavin thing. But what's different about it, mm-hmm. Rich, is that. They said, we want to do, you know, do it to your spec. So they asked me how to do it. And I said, well, I think it'd be really cool. I've had a couple. I have one over there sitting on your wall.
You created your own bobblehead.
Anyway, I did. I created my own bobblehead. And the fingers go like this. And the head goes.
Yes. So the head, but the fingers now move.
That's why they had to put that special,
well,
you know.
This is, by the way, up,
there it is.
Delightful this is for great, us on actually, so many different yeah. reasons,
good.
Christopher. Not only because we love you and we love the movie, we love Shooter McGavin, but... there was a bit of a mishap because we, for some reason, why do we take it out? Because we wanted to see.
Well, we
the
took it out. Well, he had signed it last time he was here, and we just had it on the desk, and it
and
got
it
knocked
it
over.
It fell.
Broken arms.
But we put it back
head.
Together.
I see him. He's over there.
Yeah. He's over there. So this is now. So it's bobble hands.
Bobble hands and a head. Just in case you can't get enough.
I think I need to do this right now.
I think we need to see it in action.
And then
action.
We'll have to put it back in.
We need
it,
yeah.
Or put it on a better shelving situation,
better situation.
Than the last time.
Maybe we just leave it in the box next time.
Yeah. Safety shelf.
I mean, the funny. Crazy thing is, in between the 6 years that you've been here the last time, my children have now seen the movie.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
They love it, though.
Yeah,
I know it might not be appropriate. There may be some inappropriate
aspects.
Yeah,
there's a couple
of
things that maybe, you know, if they're under 10 would not be good. But
yeah. You know, I'd tell them an alligator didn't really.
Yeah, right.
You know.
Eat Apollo Creed's hand.
Yeah. Okay, here we go.
Caden's Bank right there. There you go. Houston Open.
Look at that.
Hold on a minute. Look at that, ladies and gentlemen.
Let me do it. Classic. I shouldn't do that. No, you should do it. Hold on a minute. Let me do it if you don't mind. Christian McDonald. Here
so
go.
Funny.
Go for it.
Shooter. Choke on that, baby.
Now, you made that lineup, right? The choke on that, baby?
Yeah, it was that thing where I said, please let me make the putt.
Yeah.
No, cut to the hole with the ball going in, please.
Yeah.
All right, I'll give you, you know, six tries or whatever. So that was the fifth. And it went in because it wasn't on a green. It was on a, you know, garden. It went a botanical
yes.
garden.
Yeah.
They had to drop a car and all this stuff. So, yeah, so I did that whole dance. And I didn't know what to do because I had a lot of people betting against me. You suck, shooter. And that kind of stuff. So I, it went in and it was, you know, if it had gone past the hole, it would have gone 30 yards. But right. I was going to drill it anyway. That's what happened.
So that was a legit choke on that, baby.
Yeah.
To the members of the crew that were betting against
exactly,
you for making the actual
exactly.
putt.
Yeah.
I love that.
The movie's still going. I can't believe it. 26 years later, it's an actor's dream to
still
have that
going.
Kind of
stuff. It's going better. Because I'm saying, you got a whole different generation of people who
exactly.
are seeing this.
God bless Adam Sandler and God bless, you know, Dennis Dugan and our producers. And man, I tell you, once it hit television.
Yeah.
It was off.
That's off and
it
going.
Was crazy.
I know.
So
pretty cool. And what does your golf game look like?
It's not pretty. I did get new clubs though. I just got. Ooh.
Okay.
I gotta say, PXGs.
Okay.
Parsons Extreme Golf.
Okay.
Wow.
All right.
What a difference.
A little
shout making
out.
My game really good.
Okay.
And I played with a couple of pros, and I gotta say, pretty crazy. They hit from, of course, the tips, and it was 80 yards when we were on the blues. And mm-hmm. I was like, are you guys kidding me? And then they're phew. So compared to them, not so good. But I can hold my own from time to time. But golf, it's a hard game. You got to play all the time.
It sure is. No doubt about that. Christopher McDonald here on the Rich Eisen Show. And talk about playing, you know, with professionals. Where does Gene Smart rank in that one, man? She's unbelievable. Your show you're on with the Hacks.
Yeah, I am blessed to be working with her. She's an old friend. I've known her, done a couple of projects with her years back.
Mm-hmm.
And the chemistry's right there because she's an absolute knockout and just a genius actor. And there's, you know, 2 years in a row, she wins Best Actress. And she's just
for good reason.
A great, great person also. Got a heart as big as Texas. She's just a delight to react off of. I don't have to do much. I just kind of like get zinged by her and try to dodge them. Because she is a tour de force. She really is.
Well, I would imagine of roles that one can play, casino chief is a big full course meal. Are you channeling anybody while you're doing this?
A little
bit of the Mo Green in you. A little bit?
That's funny, Mo Green. That's a better call. That's a better choice.
Where are you going?
I was going with the guy that I had a joke about it too. It was not really that funny.
Sorry, I didn't mean to blow it hard.
Yeah, he has the win. I was out there playing golf and doing another golf movie called The Squeeze.
Mm-hmm.
True story about this kid that was found. Anyway, we got to play on that course during this movie.
Mm-hmm.
And he had a bunch of people out in front of him, and he doesn't see well. And he had...
Shadow Creek you're talking about out there?
Yeah, right behind the win. Uh-huh. I think that's called Shadow Creek.
The win course is where
they did the match
Mahomes
with,
and Allen and Brady and Rogers.
That's right. Yeah.
Okay. So that's the one you're on?
Yeah. So he had guys that tell him, mm-hmm. Oh, you're going to like that one, sir. Mm-hmm. Oh, you got a hold of that one. Because you couldn't see. It was kind of.
Was it like 5 feet in front of him?
Pretty much, yeah. Yeah. It was a chuckle at the same time. You know, much love to the guy's incredible businessman.
Right.
Yeah.
Sure.
So my line in the show was not him. You know, he put his elbow through a Picasso, which is also another true story.
Right.
So anyway. It's but yeah, I'm going back now. The show is in Vegas, and I get to go and play there again. Mm-hmm. I'm just delighted because the writing is so good, the acting is so good in this show, and the storylines, man, do they just go back and forth. Paul W. Downs, one of the writers of it, mm-hmm. Married to Lucia, who's also directs most of them, is incredibly. I think he and Megan Stalter, his assistant,
mm-hmm.
were the funniest ever in this past
season.
They are so funny.
I know, it's a brilliant show. It really, really is. And you've also played the Cowboys owner, right? On
yes,
Ballers?
I did. Ballers, right?
Did you ever
call him the boss man?
Did you ever hear from the Cowboys or Jerry Jones?
I did not. I did not hear from Jerry for some reason.
Okay,
but they're doing well this year, aren't they, Cowboys?
They are.
They are. Man,
Cowboys Bills. Wouldn't you like to get another shot at them? Wouldn't you like to get one last?
Well, we're
shot
due for that one. That would be. That would be an absolutely, talk about Buffalo blowing up after we beat them.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
That would
revenge
be. Revenge. I know.
Is this a meal served
cold. It's cold. Yeah. Best served cold. The Watcher is available now for streaming on Netflix. Season 1 and 2 of Hacks is available now on HBO Max. Season 3 is coming soon. This is automatically one of our favorite baubles that we have here.
Top notch.
With the shooter. Bobble hands. I love it. Great to see you, sir.
Thanks for having me, Rich.
Anytime, Christopher
McDonald. You're the man.
Anytime. At Real Chris McDonald on Instagram again. The Watcher on Netflix. Hacks on HBO Max. We are back with more on The Rich Eisen Show in a moment. During the commercial break that we were on, after we said goodbye to Christopher McDonald, Christian Pulisic just scored for the United States men's national team, and he took one right directly in the nose because he scored, I think, from what, 2 feet out?
Yeah, I mean,
and he went directly. Yeah. His momentum carried him right into the Iranian keeper. And he was down for quite a bit, and the United States played a man short for a bit just to see if Pulisic can come back, and he has, but he's got a big shiner on his nose right now.
Oof.
So, bottom line, it is 1-0. United States,
he's back in the game. Unbelievable.
I don't know. There's no protocol, I guess. He's back in the game, and there will be a ton of stoppage time, right, Mike? You're the Rich Eisen Show stoppage time expert.
6 to 8 right now, minimum.
That's the range right now.
Yeah, that's like a closer.
You want to tweet that out from the Rich Eisen Show account? That Rich Eisen Show.
Official.
I got it. He's the official Rich Eisen Show stoppage time expert.
Wow.
It's a mouthful.
I'm going to add that to my.
It's a mouthful.
It's my Twitter.
Or do you want to? I don't know. They call Mike Pereira lead Fox NFL rules analyst. He's a rule analyst. Is he a stoppage time analyst?
Yeah, stoppage time analyst.
Also, Rich, shout out Sergiño Dest with the amazing head pass.
Is that the one who put the header in? I mean, the U.S. Knox has been knocking on the door quite a bit. We're closing on. In on the 45-minute mark, which we do the math for you. That's a half of football. And Mike Del Tufo, Rich Eisen Show, stoppage time.
At least six.
Analyst. Let's call him an expert.
Expert or analyst?
Like seven. I'm saying
expert,
seven.
Expert. Expert. He is an expert at this.
I think seven.
Watch,
plus.
It's going to come at seven. Now,
you change it. 6 to 8 or seven
six
plus. I'm getting ready.
I got to wait because I'm waiting.
No, wait. Wait. No, six wait. To, no, tweet wait. It. Tweet it. Tweet eight. It. Six eight. To eight. Eight. Six to eight. Eight. Six to eight.
Eight.
You say eight?
I say eight.
He says eight minutes stoppage time.
Here it goes.
He says it's 8 minutes of stoppage time. We're going to find out. Did you tweet it out?
It might be too high.
This is the greatest real time we've had since TJ was on The Price is Right.
Take the under.
Tweets out.
Here we go. Tweets out. What did we say the official stoppage time analyst is going
to
say? 6 to 8.
Let's see.
Mike Del Tufo. I
mean, the big wall.
They're still figuring it out. They're still.
The big wall.
They have no idea yet.
They might be carrying the one.
Uh-oh, wow.
Right now. Oh, there's someone from...
But they're already in.
All right.
Plus five. Rip, see, plus, you're wrong.
You're wrong.
Mike, we just...
Well, Pulisic was the only injury.
We just...
I didn't pay attention to the game. I was paying attention to...
Stoppage time expert. Can you have a podcast on stoppage time?
I mean, I can
who are the guests?
But the podcast is only 5 to 10 minutes because that's how long stoppage time is.
It's short.
You don't know how long the podcast is. You don't know how long it is. It just depends
exactly
on how much dead space there is.
Right, exactly.
You think we should pitch it to Cumulus?
I think we should.
What do you think?
I think we should.
Brought to you by. Well, I already know they've got a shaving cream sponsor for Monday Night Football. We can have the same sponsor because it sponsors the line that you draw.
That's right.
The line is Barbasol.
That's the line.
That just disappears.
Yeah.
It just goes, it's there and
we're workshopping it, guys.
I love it. Oh. We're doing
meanwhile,
great.
Meanwhile, stop me if you've heard this before. England is in a scoreless tie.
Oof. Jeez. What are they doing?
Does that mean so England would win on the goal differentials because they kicked Iran's butt?
They won.
Well, it's a difference between whether you finish one or two in your pool.
It's a massive difference. By the way, should the U.S. advance, should this hold, U.S.
current results, as they say.
Current results. U.S. is first up Saturday morning.
7 a.m.
7 a.m. Pacific.
I know that. Oof. We already discussed it in our house. All the kids are like, we're getting up for it. And Susie and I, both of us same time, said, no, you're not.
I'll already be awake, but yes.
Of course we are. We're awake in our house. Yeah.
7 a.m. Saturday.
If results hold. Hey, I'm used to having good Saturdays of television viewing in sports world these days.
Hey, now.
And by these days, I meant last Saturday. But I can't say these things because it's not for Chris.
You can say whatever you want. I don't have to listen and be like,
yes,
hey,
you
great
have
job,
to
great
listen.
Job.
You have to listen. And I don't need your.
I don't have to be like, rah, rah.
I don't know. I don't want you to do that either. I want you to talk and speak your mind. But every now and then, give me one.
I did. I said great job.
I don't need a great job from
all right.
you.
All right.
Nathaniel Hackett's talking now. What's he talking about? Here's something.
He's hoping he
do we have the do we have the draft list? I know we talked about it prior to the show. This is wild, man. This is wild.
The top
currently the Houston Texans are on the clock.
Correct.
Then you got the Bears.
Yep.
Then you've got the Seahawks and the Lions because the Seahawks own the Broncos pick from the Russell Wilson trade. And the Lions own the Rams pick from the Matthew Stafford trade. And the difference between the two, okay, the difference between the two is, yes, would the Rams like to have this draft choice because they are unfortunately earning it with Stafford being injured and concussed and Cooper Kupp recovering from the dreaded tightrope ankle surgery and Allen Robinson now being out for the year and Aaron Donald now having a high ankle sprain. It is absolutely dreadful. The offensive line has been banged up from jump. But the difference between the Rams and the Broncos is the Rams trade. Okay. The Rams trade. There's a trophy in the case.
Yeah, won a Super Bowl.
And there's
maybe
a walnut made of diamonds.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't even call it a walnut.
I mean,
like a centerpiece.
It's like a small plum.
That's it. It is worth it. And I know right now it is very difficult for the Ramily that we all know. It is worth it. And next year, if the Rams are top five on the clock and the Lions do get a choice, right? If that does happen, it'll be a tough moment for the Rams to watch a top five caliber player. Certainly, since this was a team that was going to cough up two ones for Brian Burns, what if it's like Will Anderson of Alabama? Like, that's the guy, right? It'll be tough to watch. But all you got to do is just look at the trophy in the case. Mm-hmm. That's it. Forevermore, every player on that team will be able to say, I won it. I won a Super Bowl. All of them. The Broncos, not so much. Not so much. As it appears in the stoppage time, the United States just scored a second, but it's going to be waved off. What a buzzkill. The AR. You remember what John C. Reilly said he told Will Ferrell what he thought the AR stood for? The a-hole ref? That's what that guy is.
By the way, they're at 6.5 in the extra time.
Was he offside?
Getting closer and closer,
people. He was offside. Dang it.
At any rate,
that would have been sick.
This Super Bowl take brought interrupted by a disallowed goal. But you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely.
The Broncos.
Worth it, man.
How about the Seahawks, by the way? How about the Seahawks? They've lost two in a row, but the silver lining is the Russ trade keeps on giving. It gets better.
That giving tree.
The Seahawks are going to wind up choosing top five for sure.
How about this? They cut.
Look at the Eagles. They own they own the Saints pick. The Eagles are in the 10-win club, and they might choose top five.
Seahawks cut Bobby Wagner last year, and they could draft his replacement in April, Will Anderson.
Wow. 844-204-RICH is always the number to dial here on the Rich Eisen Show. We will take phone calls whenever you want to send them in, and we'll take them all day tomorrow. Desmond Howard is first up tomorrow. I want to thank today's guests for being part of this program, Christopher McDonald and Matt Rhule. And that was a great chat with Bruce Feldman, man.
It was.
So Des is going to be first up tonight, talking about the Final Four that's been spit out by the committee leading into the championship weekend. And Brockman, we'll see if you hit any part of your parlays, right?
I will let everyone know. Rich, should results hold, we will play the Netherlands Saturday morning.
Oh, boy. Okay. That's the way if results hold?
If results hold, Netherlands.
Okay. Well, our results are holding. We're back on the show tomorrow. Desmond Howard, Mina Kimes in studio.
Hey, all right.
And Patrick Peterson. He'll be on the program. Hey, Patrick, how are you preparing for Mike White? What are you laughing about?
I'm not laughing.
What are you laughing? You just laughed.
It's the way you said it.
That's a legit question.
It's the way you said it.
TJ Jefferson's favorite Western Kentucky quarterback.
Look, are there any other Western Kentucky quarterbacks?
Bailey Zappi.
Bailey Zappi.
Oh, that's right.
We came so close to a Zappi White showdown.
I know, we're so close.
Zappi White. I once saw him open up for Red Fox. By the way,
I thought Zappi White was the bass player in P-Funk.
By the way, I did actually one time see Slappy White open up for Red Fox in Las Vegas at the Great Shalimar Hotel in Vegas, mate. Rest in peace. It was amazing. Amazing. Apropos of nothing, going out to our Wednesday show.